Okay.
Yeah, well, if you're going to wait almost a year, I'll be
Right. I know your situation. Okay. So we want to talk about Shochad today. Shochad is an Issa that appears twice in the Torah, once in Parshas Mishpatim, and again here in Parshas Shoftim. And the Torah here in Parshas Shoftim, in Perek Yutes, Pasuk Yutes, that's pretty easy to remember, 19:19, Lo Satem Mishpat, you should not deviate from justice. Lo Sakir Ponim, you should not give favoritism. Lo Sikach Shochad, you're not allowed to take bribes. And then the Torah gives a general overarching rule, sort of a psychological principle almost, to explain this Isur, and says, Ki Ashochad Yaver Einei Chachamim V'Yisalef Divrei Tzadikim. So let's just raise a few questions here. Number one, why does the Torah have to say both Lo Sata Mishpat and Lo Sikach Shochad? L'chora, that's repetitious, because if you're not allowed to incline the justice or deviate the justice in favor of one of the litigants or whatever it might be, then for sure you can't take Shochad. Or if you can't take Shochad, it's because of Lo Sata Mishpat. There seems to be some sort of repetitious or superfluous nature of the psukim. The second question we want to ask is, who is the Torah addressing? Number one, is the Torah addressing only the Dayanim, the judges, because it says Lo Sikach Shochad? What about the Baldin? It doesn't say in the Torah Lo Sitein Shochad, that you're not allowed to give a bribe. It sounds like the shift here is on the acceptance of the bribe, what we call Kabo'as HaShochad. And question number two, is it only Dayanim? And this is going to be the most, perhaps, significant question that we want to address today. What about outside of a courtroom? Forget about the context of litigants in a courtroom. What about if I'm standing in front of what we call here in Israel a pakid, meaning someone who's officially in charge of the, you know, of, let's say, payments and documents and licenses and, you know, recognizing this and that, taxes, whatever it might be, am I allowed to bribe them? Or is this Iser only applicable to a judge? And this is very relevant, because sometimes, you know, if you don't bribe somebody, they're not going to even pay attention to your just cause. I'm not asking the person to falsify a document on my behalf. I know that the document is true, but I just need that, you know, that bureaucratic signature. Am I allowed to give the guy a gift or the girl a gift in order to make sure that she takes care of what she has to take care of? Another question is, why did the Torah add Ki Ashochad Ya'aver Einei Chachamim? Is the Torah telling me that the only reason why bribes are prohibited is because it will cause a deviation of judgment? It will cause an obstruction of judgment. What happens if I would give a bribe in such a way that I know it's not going to obstruct justice? Let's say, for example, both litigants agree together that we'll both give the same exact amount to the judge. Would the judge in such a case be allowed to receive gifts in equal amounts of gifts from both of them? There doesn't seem to be any Ya'aver Eini Chachamim here, and maybe we should say that it's mutter in such a case. Another issue that maybe we could address is, what about a non-Jewish judge? And that issue itself breaks down to two parts. Number one, as a Jew, am I allowed to bribe a non-Jewish judge? And number two, as a Ben Noach, is a judge enjoined, a non-Jewish judge, from accepting a bribe? And we know that there are seven mitzvahs to Bnei Noach. This one is not listed amongst the seven. Does that mean that a non-Jewish judge, as far as the Ben Noach laws are concerned, is allowed to take a bribe? Another issue is, what constitutes a bribe? Is it only something that has value in monetary terms? What about if I say hello to the guy? I just wish him good morning, or shalom, how are you? Or I tell him that he looks really good. You know, he's got a flashy tie on, a nice expensive suit. That's called Shochad Dvarim. Is that also included under the Isur Shochad? Another issue that comes up very often in discussion is something called Hachzaras HaShochad, which means that, let's say, the judge, for whatever reason, accepted a bribe. Now he's required, according to Halacha, to return the bribe. Or do we say no? As long as he's already given the verdict, he doesn't have to return the bribe because the bribe is no longer relevant. It was given as an outright gift. Or we say no, it was only given as a bribe and he cannot accept it as a bribe. What about a bribe that was given way in advance of the judgment? Let's say, for example, my neighbor is a judge on a court. So today I give him a big gift. I send him a big basket of fruits or a vase full of flowers. And then a month from now, I stand in front of him for judgment. Does he have to disqualify himself because a month ago he accepted a gift? Or you could have futuristic bribes. Let's say, for example, instead of giving him a gift now, I promise him a gift in the future. And then I want him to judge. Is he already considered in violation and he has to disqualify himself as a judge? There are two basic halachas in shochad. One is the prohibition against accepting a shochad. The other is the disqualification of the judge who accepted a shochad. Now, does he have to disqualify? Does it constitute a shochad when one of the litigants says to him, you know, a month from now I'm going to give you a gift? Does he already at that point become disqualified for judgment? Now, there are all sorts of cases in the work market of shochad. For example, let's say you're a physician and you write a prescription for one of your patients. And you send your patient to a certain pharmacy. And the pharmacy gives you a certain kickback. This is what you call kickbacks. Is that also shochad? Again, assuming if I can prove that the Isur Shochad goes way beyond the context of a legal court's case and judges, but applies even beyond, you can imagine a situation where let's say a physician works in a hospital. And he has to send patients to various, how do you say in English, machlakot, like divisions in the hospital. There's a better word, but I'm not thinking of it. And let's say that the physician, the attending physician who's going to refer the case, he can refer to many different people within that division. Let's say there's a department of surgery. So I could say to my patients, the best surgeon in the department is so-and-so. And I get a kickback from that surgeon because he charges thousands of dollars for every surgery that he performs. Now, it could be a complicated situation because it could be that as a physician, I really believe, in all honesty, that he's the best surgeon to do the job, but yet I'm still making a judgment call here and I'm encouraging my patient to go to that specific. So as soon as I get a kickback, it might be considered a kind of a shochad. There was a famous case that maybe we'll get to talk about today, where in the decision of the community to hire a particular rabbi, they found out after the rabbi was chosen by election that many, many members of the community had been paid off by a relative of that rabbi to vote for the rabbi.
Really?
Yeah. Again, it's a scandal, but it happened. And you want to know...
What was this?
I don't know, it's in the postgame. I don't know, I forget the name of the town. Oh, okay, so anyway, the question comes to postgame, whether or not we have to disqualify the decision, and the hiring of that rabbi was made on the basis of shochad, and therefore it's totally null and void, and we have to take it back for another vote.
Yeah. According to that, there's a problem with the Kohen Gadol's mother giving the in the.
Well, again, to encourage someone to pray, I'm allowed to do whatever I want and whatever I possibly can to bribe a person to pay on my to pray on my behalf or pray on behalf of my son. That's okay. Now, praying for the death of the Kohen Gadol, that's a different question. That has nothing to do with Shochad. You know, why is it that the Kohen Gadol, we say in Yiddish, Vos bindem Kohen Gadol Shulden? You know, why is he guilty for the fact that Reuven killed Shimon inadvertently and Reuven ends up in the Yerah Miklah? That's a very deep question. But once the law is that the only way that this Rotzeach B'Shogeg could go free is when the Kohen Gadol dies, you know, then I could introduce whatever is necessary to pray, either to pray on behalf of the life of the Kohen Gadol, or perhaps even the other way around. I don't know. Now, if we assume again that bribes go beyond the confines of a shofet and a dayan, and any woman or man that's working in a government office is not allowed to accept a bribe, even if the bribe is only being given in order to give that person who's giving the bribe the right attention. I'll give you an example. This is Maisim B'chol Yom here in Israel. I don't know how it works in Canada. But when you want to apply for an extension, so you bring architectural plans to the municipality, yeah, they got a tremendous backlog. And the committees will decide, you know, which case they want to take up first. And it could be a tremendous difference. Sometimes years on the waiting line, you know. So you want to offer a certain kickback to one of the members of that committee to try to push your case forward. There's nothing illegal about it, but there's nothing there's no falsification of truth. I'm not asking for anyone to lie or anything like that. I'm just encouraging them to take up my case as soon as they can. Now, if you assume that even in such a case there's an Isur Shochad to accept Shochad, and maybe for that matter even to give Shochad, that's what we have to talk about, then what about a woman? Some poskim want to throw out the possibility, since a woman could never be a Dayan, then you can't extend it from the pasuk. We can extend it from the pasuk. The pasuk is talking about a shofet, right? Shoftim v'shoftim titein b'sharecha, and a man could become a shofet. Therefore, even outside the confines of a court case, he might be considered a shofet vis-a-vis a municipal decision or a civil decision. What about a woman? Is a woman also considered a shofetes, and therefore she cannot receive a bribe as well? So in order to get the ball rolling, we're going to start with the Gemara in Ksubis, which is on your page 1. Now this Gemara in Ksubis really requires at least an hour or two of study. It starts on Daf Kufei Amid Aleph, and it goes through all of Kufei Amid Beis, which you see on the next side of your page. So it's a really long sugya. It spills over even into Kuvav Amid Aleph. And the Gemara offers a long series of stories about various giants, you know, the Tanoim and the Amoroim, who were marchik themselves far, far away from Shochad. We'll start with one point which is absolutely critical here, and that's Karna. He was a Tana, and this is on the fourth of the wide lines. Havishakil istira mizakai vistira mi chayav. He would receive a payment from both litigants. One litigant turned out later on to be zakai, and the other turned out to be chayav. Vidoinu dina. And he had no problem judging, even though he got gifts from both sides. So Gemara asks, "V'heichi oved hochi? How could he do such a thing?" V'aksiv v'shochad lo sikach. The Torah says you're not allowed to receive a bribe. V'chi tevi'el answer, "Hani bili, when did the Torah prohibit you from taking a bribe? Heichad lo shakil mitshavayu. You only took from one of them and not from both of them. Dilma asi litzli edina. You might deviate from justice." But Karna came into Shakal Mitravayu, since Karna received a gift from both of them, is lo asi Let's luye dina. It is no logical reason why he would give favoritism and prefer one bal din over the other. He accepted the same identical shochad or gift from both of them. So the Gemara says that nevertheless, Karna should not have done such a thing. Why? Because we have a Braisa. The Braisa wants to address the question that I asked you at the outset, namely, why the repetition in the Torah? The Torah says two things. It says lo satem mishpat, and it says lo sikach shochat. So the Braisa says shochat lo tikach. Why did the Torah have to add thou shalt not receive a bribe? If it's because he's going to distort justice, at the beginning of the pasuk, the Torah already enjoined you from any sort of deviation from justice. Ella, why did the Torah have to add shochad? Afil lezakos es hazakai ulachayev es hachayev. Even when it's a situation where your only interest here is to bring out the justice, and the one who is exempt from punishment, you find him guiltless. The one who's guilty, you find him guilty. And each one is paying you the same identical amount. Is Amra Torah. The Torah still says, V'shokhat lo sikach, in addition to lo satav mishpat. So we have something fascinating at this point. Based on the Braisa, we see that there are two separate prohibitions here in this pasuk, and they both address two different dimensions. The first isur is to avoid any sort of favoritism and deviation from justice. The second one is a separate isur unto itself, and we have to understand why, that even if it means that there's no distortion of justice, nevertheless the Torah says lo sikach shochad. It's almost what we call a separate gzeiras hakosef. The first isur applies, and the scope is broadened to include anything that might lead to injustice. Okay, and that's what you call a mishpat. Mishpat meaning a statute that I understand that every legal system on the face of the earth has to be based on justice, and therefore has to guarantee that there's no falsification of justice. The second isur is gzeiras hakasuv that says he cannot take shochad, period. No, so we're back to Karna. Karna took from both sides. So Gemara answers, Karna b'toras agra agar dina. Agar dina. There are two types of monies that go into the pocket of the judge. One is a gift, and the other is a reward for his employment, its wages. The judge also has to put food on his table, and therefore it's absolutely legitimate, even obligatory, that we supply the judge with a payment for services. That payment for services has to be collected from the Bali Din. Again, if you have a community chest, and you can pay from the community chest, that's one thing. But otherwise, Reuven and Shimon want to come to Din. The Shofet brings all the years and years of his study, all the years of his experience, plus the time that he has to invest in judgment. He's got to be paid, and therefore both Bali Din will pay. They will pay the same amount of money. And it doesn't matter how much the judgment is. You know, it could be a case of a million, it could be a case of a penny. The Torah says that din pruta kidin mea, and now b'toras agra, as wages, the judge is allowed to take wages. However, if there's a special gift that has nothing to do with the service that the judge, or the time that the judge is spending, is investing, that gift, even if it's coming equally from both sides, and even if it's for the sake of, you know, you should have a clear head, that you should judge accurately and justly, nevertheless the Torah, as we said before, it's a separate isur, has prohibited taking from both sides.
So the
go ahead.
Coming didn't realize that what it was?
They didn't know what it was. But you have to understand, Joe, that it's not a question of, you know, what exactly were the facts on the case. The Gemara wants to go through all the logical possibilities to give us the basic halachic principles. Meaning, how could Karna do such a thing? The Gemara probably knew from the get-go why Karna and how Karna did such a thing, but the Gemara wants to go through checking off all the possibilities in order to clarify the law.
Oh, but sorry, but you know, in some sense, the case doesn't make a whole lot of sense. If you have two litigants that they know that they're paying the same amount, surely they're not going to know that he's going to favor one over the other if it's the same amount. What are they paying for? They're losing their money for nothing. They're paying for nothing.
You know what? I think what's happening here is that each litigant thinks that he has the case in his pocket, and he wants to make sure that both he and the other litigant are on the same footing, on the same ground. So they match each other, so to speak. And each litigant thinks that if he matches the other litigant and the judge is going to be able to have a clear head, he'll favor his argument. You know, I'll tell you what it is. Part of the challenge of being a judge, I mean, there are many challenges, but one dimension is that sometimes you hear a claim and it makes no sense to you. It doesn't seem to be founded at all. And if you look at it deeper and you examine it more carefully below the surface, you discover that that claim could be, but it requires an extra effort. We call it in Hebrew lashkia, you know, to invest a little bit more of an effort, and don't judge things on the surface, you know, first impression. Look below the surface. So sometimes the Baal Din thinks that he wants to be on equal footing because he realizes that maybe his claim sounds a little bit weak, a little bit odd, and he needs the judge to give it an extra special attention, come up with a migu or a peshasar or some sort of new svara. So he wants to make sure that he has a good standing with the judge, and that's what he does. Now, Rabosai, as I mentioned to you before, it's a very long sugya, and the Gemara goes through many, many cases where a Tana or an Amora went very, very far not to accept anything that might seem like it might be a kind of a bribe. The Gemara tells a story on Daf Kufei Amid Beis about Rava, and another story about Mar Ukva, and a third story about Rabbi Yishmael, and then another, that's Rabbi Yishmael Rabbi Yossi, and then there's another Rabbi Yishmael Rabbi Elisha and Rabbi Anan. There are many, many different cases and nuances, but the poskim want to know, that's the underlying question about how to analyze and read this Gemara carefully in Ksubis, is this Me'ikar Adin? Is the Gemara telling us these stories so that we paskin and codify them? This is what constitutes Shochan. Or is the Gemara telling us stories here in order to indicate what we call Lifnim Mishuras Adin? How pious, you know, these are great stories about the piety of the Tanoim and the Amoraim, how far they went, even beyond the letter of the law. But the most important thing that I want to point out to you is on page 6. And this comes from the Chazon Ish. And the Chazon Ish has a... What do you say?
Oh, sorry. Just one second.
Yeah, great. I'm sorry, Ellie. Yeah.
The cases the Gemara is talking about, okay, so when you bring a case of four or five different Tanaim that do this, what does that mean? Does that mean that the rest of them didn't do that? Does that mean that it is lefleinik b'shuras adin? Because obviously, if everybody believes that that's the way to do it, then they would all be doing it.
Well, Ellie, I'm not sure. Let me present to you what I meant. Maybe this will answer your question. I'm not sure if I understand your question. There are many different stories. Each one is a little different. And in each case, there was a situation and the Tana decided to exclude himself. Now, there are two ways of learning this whole series of stories. One is to show that Every single one of these cases or stories is being recorded by the Gemara to tell me that even that's considered shochad. That was the situation that that particular Amora faced. For example, somebody said Shalom Aleichem to him, and he decided, well, it was such a great Shalom Aleichem that he passed himself from judgment. Is that particular story, that scenario that Rabbi Shmuel found himself, is that meant to codify the halacha? Or is the Gemara telling us great stories about Chachamim so that we should emulate them and try to reach that level, but it's not to be codified in halacha? So again, each one of the stories addresses a different, you know, a different scenario and a different slice.
Well, I mean, the Gemara talks about the story, isn't it, with the sharecropper, and that he's listened to the case and.
Yeah, what was the case with the sharecropper? Let's go over that case. It's on Daf Kuf Hey Amid Beis. Let's see. I don't remember all the details.
Just that he brought it to him day early, and he puzzled himself.
Oh, here it is, Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel b'Rabbi Yossi Avi Rogil Arise. It's in the middle of Kuf Hey Amid Beis. Davi Maisi Le Komali Shabsa Kanfi De Peri. He brought him that gift on every Friday, Chad, Yom Achada, Isi Le Behebe Shabsa. So he brought it one day early on Thursday, Omale Maishna Ha'idna, Omale Dina Isle. I have a judgment today, because Thursday was judgment day. Vanina, I think, you know, since I'm making the trek into town, Agav Urche, Isi Le Lamar. I'm going to give my master this gift. So again, the whole year round, he gave him the gift on Friday. Now he's giving him it on Thursday. And on that day, he has to show up in front of Rabbi Shmuel for judgment, lo kibel mineh. And Rabbi Shmuel refused to accept the gift on that particular Thursday. Amalei pasil nalach ledina. Now, you've made me pasil ledina. Now again, I'm not going into all the details here because the question is, what does he mean, pasil no le medina? Does it mean pasil le medina because if I would accept the gift, I would be pasil le din? Or is it pasil le medina because you wanted to offer me the gift right before the judgment? But go ahead, Joe, what did you want to say?
No, just this case. This is the case I'm talking about.
Right.
In the end, he proves in the end that we can't judge the case because he was going to be arguing for him. So that isn't that telling you you've got to do this? It's not a question of if he Mishir said then. It's proving to you that you can't do it. No?
So let's go through it inside. You're right. It does sound like it's not Lifnei Mishir Sadin, but rather Mikra Adin. But I'm jumping ahead of myself because I really think that the way we presented it until now, it's critical, and this will also relate to Ellie's question before, that we see the Chazon Ish.
Yeah, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Because the Chazon Ish is very eager to understand, is the Iser Shochad what we call a Mishpat, or is it a Chok? And he says the following. Again, I would challenge you to tap on the shoulder anyone that you meet in whatever shul you daven in, let's say you daven in the Clanton Park shul, and ask him to classify shochad as either a chok or a mishpat. And I'm positive that if the guy has half a brain, he's going to tell you, a half a brain, I mean a halachic brain, then he's going to tell you that's a classical mishpat. Meaning it's logical, it's rational. The Chazon Ish says, no. HaShochad Inyon Miyuchad is something very special. We'll see what that means in a minute. For who? Ki Mekach Shochad, receiving a Shochad, if you receive a Shochad, Hu Min Hegyonios, again the Chazon Ish's language is a little bit flowery, Hegyonios B'Muchlat Shatora Tiavaso. Right, so you would certainly say that the Torah found bribery absolutely repulsive, and that's logical, and that's rational. That would make it a mishpat. But he says, be'ikvo, he says, as a result of receiving shochad, sod kochos hanefashos. Now the word sodi means that there's something mystical going on here. Kochos hanefashos. Kochos hanefashos means the psyche of a human being. La'aver enei chacham l'salif mishpat. He says that the power of a shochad is somehow a mystical power that will cause the deviation from justice. Ubiyosha amru sheh histakel HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'Torah ubara alma. In other words, the Torah was the blueprint of nature, of creation, so the Torah comes first. And the Torah is saying that somehow Shochad is going to have this mystical impact on the psyche of the judge and blind him, disrupting his justice. Is therefore, since it was written in the Torah, which is the blueprint of the universe, Chiva HaTorah Koach B'Shochad La'aver U'Lesalef. The Torah itself generated this nature. So it's not that, you know, this is something psychological that existed with or without the Torah. This propensity and power for the Shochad to have an impact on the heart of the and the psyche of the judge is something that's a result of the Isur Shochad. And the fact that the Torah says you're not allowed to take shochad. V'hine ein hazhoras ha-shochad mechlal ha-mishpatim ela mechlal ha-chukim. And he wants to prove that shochad is not a chok, excuse me, it's not a mishpat, but it's a chok. Okay, this is a very big challenge. Because you and I would have said it's a mishpat. Now, at this point, you know, if I was sitting in the classroom with the Chazanish and he would ask for a volunteer, I would say the very fact that you can't take a shochad from both sides of equal value, that itself seems to indicate that there's something of a chok here. But he quotes a different proof. The Chazanish says, Sharelo osra Torah hora li'atzmo. The greatest shochad that you could ever imagine is when a person has to give a halachic decision for himself. And yet, Adam roa treifa liatzmo. If let's say I shecht an animal, and I'm not sure if it's a treifa, I have to check the innards of the animal, I can determine for myself whether it's a kosher animal or if it's a treifa. And yet, this is the greatest shochad that you can imagine. I'm like, I got a $500 cow at stake over here. I don't want to suffer the loss. And yet, I'm trustworthy to decide for myself, not just in treifas, but in every single area. Where's the logic over here? You say a judge can't take shochad, but I can decide for myself. The afa mishpat bein ish l're'eu lo posle torak shochad bizman ha mishpat avlo asro lishpot es ovo vesono. Okay, this is machlokas tanoim in Masechta Sanhedrin. If any of you gentlemen are doing daf yomi, it came up about a week ago or so. Is a judge allowed to adjudicate in a case where his best friend is one of the two litigants, or his worst enemy? What could be a greater shochad than that? And yet, we paskin like the Chacham, the Tanakama, that he's kosher. HaTorah emina bibitcha gmuras ha-chacham l'dayin. The Torah has absolute reliance upon the judge. Ki yireh nochachos. And he'll see everything clearly and he'll give an honest to goodness just judgment. But the answer is that shochad comes under a different category. V'hu inyon sguli. You know, now that's a word you can't translate to any language. Skula means some sort of an esoteric metaphysical power. V'yesh bo koach hatuma. Very flowery, poetic language here. The Chazanish is claiming that the Shochad contains within it the power of Tumah. La'aver enei aseichel. And just somehow, it's a manifestation of a power that will blind the intellect. U'mishumkach osur gam l'notel b'shnei b'shova. Finally, the Chazanish comes full swing back to our understanding. That he's not allowed to take a shochad from both of them, even al manas la dunam kalach. They're both saying here, we're both offering you a gift. We respect and love you, and here judge fairly, and they both give the same identical gift. And yet, there's a, some sort of koach atuma vas likten em shochad. It's inherent in the shochad, and it's going to blind him. And we have other cases where a person is allowed to give ora, even though you would think that all the factors are set into place for him to be blinded and be favorite and favoritism, show favoritism towards one side or the other. So again, I'm not. Yeah, go ahead.
Can I just make a comment before you continue?
Yeah.
I just want to say that in certain situations, you could have an opposite effect. What I'm saying is, for example, I know, because it happened to me, so that's how I know.
True story.
I used to have an uncle who taught me in a cheder, okay? He gave me the hardest time. And afterwards, I asked him, why did you give me such a hard time? He said, so the kids, the students shouldn't think that I'm favoring you.
Right.
So it had the opposite effect.
Right. So what do they call that?
You might think that this guy is favoring. That's precarious. He says, I don't want you to think that.
Right. So it could be that a shochad will cause the judge to favor the guy who didn't give a shochad, just so he wants to bend over backwards to show how objective he is.
Yeah.
Maybe that's also included in the koach atuma that the Chazon Ish is describing. You know, there's such a mystical koach atuma, the power of the shochad, it could go in so many different directions. But you know, you remind me, Ellie, of that phrase in English. I'm trying to remember the phrase. It's let me see if I have it at the tip of my tongue.
The daughter-in-law?
No. This phenomenon in the West that we bend over backwards sometimes. It's something favorite. What's it called? Like, for example, a certain echelons in society that have a 500% better chance of getting accepted into
reverse discrimination.
What's it called?
Reverse discrimination.
Right, reverse discrimination. That's what it reminds me of, Ellie. You know, reverse discrimination. In order to prove that I'm fair to the blacks and I don't have favoritism to the whites, I'll give the blacks reverse prejudice, meaning I'll give them, you know, it's very complicated. But I like your point. I think it's tzumzach, as we say. Okay. Now, the Me'iri on page 3 has a slightly different take on why you're not allowed to, the judge is not allowed to receive a bribe from both sides. And he says, Mishum shalibo note laze ulaze, acha note lachria beneim velo laduna. Bidin gom. Interesting. According to the Me'iri, the reason why the Torah prohibits and the judge is enjoined from accepting a shochad from both litigants is because he will have a favoritism, a sympathy for both of them. So what's so terrible? And the answer is, he's not going to want to judge. He's going to want to come up with what's called a hachra. Hachra means a kind of a compromise situation. Now, there are situations in which we encourage the judge to mediate, but apparently the Miri is assuming, and you have to really study this, that that's a fallback position. That's not really what the judge is meant to do. So in other words, the judge might really, if he had not received shochad, he would have found Reuven guilty, and Reuven would have had to pay the entire sum. But because Reuven was one of the two litigants who gave him shochad, he doesn't want to find Reuven guilty. So what does he do? He can't find Shimon guilty because he took a shochad from Shimon. So he's going to split it down the middle, and he's going to say, "I insist on a compromise." And in this case, if not for the shochad that he took from both sides, he would not insist on a compromise. Now, we mentioned before the concept of shochad dvarim, and that's the subject of this Gemara in Ksubas Adaf Kufei Omid Beis. And the Gemara says, "Afilu shochad dvarim nami asur." And the Gemara brings down all these stories of the Gedolei Tanoim, Gedolei Amorim, that were very careful about the Isur Shochad. And the question is, what about Shochad Dvorim? So the Meiri here in the same paragraph on page 3 quotes the Chachmei Hador. I'm sorry, the Chachmei Hahor. I don't know exactly which mountain they came from. He doesn't specify. And the Meiri says, I'm just turning to page 3 for a second, in the name of the Chachmei Hahor, he says that dafka b'maisik tzas avol dvarim b'alma lo. It's got to be more than just, you know, pleasant words in order to constitute shochad. It's got to be a little bit similar to a maisa shochad, meaning there's got to be something of action here. You know, like, for example, the case that you mentioned before, Joe, with Rabbi Shmuel, that he got his gift one day early, so that's more than just shochad dvarim. And he says, the Meiri, v'af b'minei kavod pirshu, the same Chachmei Ahar, dafka b'yachid mumcha. Aval im hoyu shlosha v'niskabed echad mehem al yado, eino posolo al ha'acherim. The Meiri seems to assume that if you give kavod to one of the judges, then he says if there are two different types of courts in Israel. There's a court made up of mumcha is the expert. So for example, if you give a special kavod to the expert, he can no longer judge you. But then there's another court which is not presided on by an expert, but rather by three rank and file citizens. If you gave kavod to one of them, he says, "Eino posel lo al acherim." So I wasn't exactly sure what he meant by "Eino posel lo al acherim." I don't know if you have a sense. It sounds to me that that he's not posel and he could judge together with the acherim. So in the case of Yochid Mumche, where he's judging by himself, if there are two others, so there are deliberations amongst the three judges, we could be a little bit more lenient. Now, getting back to Tosis on Daf Kufhei Amid Beis on the previous page, there's this long Tosis here, Dibra Maschil Lo, and he says that Eino Elach, towards the end of the Tosis, Eino Elach Chumra B'Alma Shahoyu Machmirim Al Atzman Kida Ashkan B'Kamet Dvorim Al Psulim Lo Havi. Tosis takes the position that when they consider themselves Psulim Ledin in all these situations, that's only Midas Chassidus, that's only a Chumra B'Alma, but it's not Mi'ikra Din. The Rambam, on the other hand, the Shulchan Aruch also paskin that Shochad Dvarim is also Mi'ikra Din, and the Kesef Mishnah explains that. And if you take a look in the Shulchan Aruch, which you'll see on page 5, which is Simon Mem in Hilchas Dayon, Simon Tes, excuse me, in Hilchas Dayonim. So there's a Shach, there's a Sma, there's a Pischei Tshuva, and all these Mefarshim that surround the Shulchan Aruch are analyzing the following question: Shochad Dvarim kmo lahaktim lo shalom, im lo hayadarko lahaktim lo shalom, asur. Which seems to assume that even Shochad Dvarim, as we saw in the Rambam, is Me'ikar Adin. but only under the condition that he said something nice which he normally wouldn't have said. If he said it on a regular basis, that might make it into a chumra bi'alma, but it's certainly not me'ikar hadin. Now, in the olamot.net, he has here an entire article from one of the giants, contemporary Gdolim in Bnei Brak, in a book called Rav Vidayon. His name is Rav Yontif Zinger, and he analyzes this question about whether or not Shochat Dvarim passes the judge Mikra Din, or it's only a Chumra Bial. And he goes through various cases. So I don't know if we'll have time to do that today, but that would be a fascinating, an investigation unto itself. Now, I asked you the question earlier, what about a shochad mi'uchar? Mi'uchar meaning that the dayan is not allowed to take a shochad during the course of the judgment, but let's say he received a gift after the judgment. Is he allowed to accept the gift after the judgment? And you and I would say, why not? But the Rush, which you'll see here also on page 3, the same page where we saw the Meiri, the Rush says that there is such a thing as a shochad me'uchar. That means post-decision, even after the judge has handed down his decision, there still is an iser shochad. And that he's going to derive from the same Gemara. The Gemara is on that same page, which is in Sanhedrin Daf Chav Zayin. Okay, now, there's going to be a story about Bar Chama. And Bar Chama was accused of murder. The case came up in front of the Rosh Galusa, and Rav Papi found some sort of a zchus, some sort of a way of alleviating Bar Chama of the judgment. And then Bar Chama, after the Rav Papi had already come up with the zchus on his behalf, he said that from now on he's in charge. Bar Chama, the accused murderer, is in charge of taxes. He's going to make sure that Rav Papa will no longer be taxed. So the Rush wants to understand, why isn't that called Shochad? After all, Rav Papa was the one who came up with a merit on behalf of Bar Chama. So the Rush answers that this was a situation in which Bar Chama was not chayav in those taxes. The government was illegally taxing him. And Rav Papi said, I'll set the record straight to make sure that you're not overtaxed. And therefore it's not called the Shochad Mi'uchar. This is not Shochad. But the implication strongly is that according to the Rush, there is a problem in taking a gift after the judgment. That's Shochad Mi'uchar and it's Asur. Now, we said at the outset that the judge has to return Shochad. And again, if we look in the Rambam in the Shulchan Aruch, it's explicit that he has to return the Shochad only if the litigant demands reimbursement. And the Sma explains, Kama de lo kiblo ela miratzon hanosein, since the litigant gave it with a full will, kidei lezakos es hazakai, and the gift was given explicitly for the sake of handing down a just verdict. Therefore, he, the judge, does not have to return it. V'lo dami l'ribis. It's not like the case of ribis, where the malva will have to return the ribis to the lova, regardless of whether the lova demands the ribis, because that was given by the Lova as ribbis, which the Torah doesn't accept and validate giving a gift of ribbis. The Torah doesn't validate giving a gift of shochad either, even Lazakos is a zakai, but nevertheless it is a gift. It's not a tag on to a halva. But on page 8 he has here the Sefer Achinuch who says Chayv Lach Zero, and he doesn't add the condition that the litigant demanded reimbursement. So there's a long discussion here in the Pisrei Tshuva, which you'll see on the top of your page 5, and he presents these two views as to whether or not you have to return, the judge has to return the shochad as an absolute requirement or as a contingent upon the demand of the Baal Din. Now, the Rambam says in Hilchos Tshuva that it's impossible to do a full-fledged tshuva for a judge who received a bribe, because the judge himself has no idea of how far he may, or to what extent he may have been influenced by the Kabbalah Shochad. Okay. Now, we have about 5 minutes. I just want to give you the main issue that I think is relevant to our times, because not every one of us here is going to sit in judgment on a court, and that is Memuna al Hatzibur, someone who is appointed as a governmental official. We call it again a pakid, Oved Memshala. And since he's appointed over the Tzibur, it's his decision. Can you bribe him in this decision? And we go back to the rush that we mentioned early in Sanhedrin about the story of Bar Chama. Now there's a super commentary on the rush which was authored by the same author of the Baal Tosis Yantif, his name is Heller, and he wrote a super commentary on the rush called Pilpula Charifta. And if you look on page 3 Os Shin, he writes that Shochad Osir Af B'Dover She'eno Din Torah El Derech Knas B'Alma. And according to the interpretation of the Pilpula Charifta, what the Rush means to say is that there are various taxes and penalties that people have to pay, either municipal or the provincial government, whatever it might be. And when you're obligated to pay that, you're not allowed to deviate by either giving shochad or, in the case of the pakid, receiving shochad. And he says explicitly in the Pilpula Charifta, Nismanim al Atzibur, Afal pi she'enam donim din Torah, even though they weren't appointed to judge a din Torah, filu hachi yizaru milkabel matonos al dineihem. In other words, whatever judgment they have to give within the context of their decision-making powers invested in by the government, they have to be very careful not to accept shochad. And this Pilpula Charifta, which was written a few centuries ago, became the source for many, many poskim that say that the Issur Shochad is not limited to a court case and to judges, but it also applies to Memunim al Atzibur. And anyone who has samchut, anyone who has authority to make decisions, is a judge in the context of Shochad. So you could have a pakid who's, he's making the decisions and signing things, and he's on the lowest level in terms of the government, but nevertheless, since he makes decisions or recommendations to those who are above him, then we have to treat him in a way like a judge without offering him bribes and without his taking bribes. Now, I was thinking that this whole discussion amongst the poskim really should be related to another principle in halacha called Dina de Malchusa Dina. Because in most cases, when you appoint such an officer or a bureaucrat, a pakid, then that person, by law, is enjoined from accepting any, they call it here bakshish, which is an Arabic word. In any event, it's not just the pilpula charifta, but there seems to be a trumas hadeshen, which is way before the pilpula charifta, quoted by the Ramah in Choshev Mishpat Siman Lamed Zayin, that tuve hakol hamamunim lasok b'tzochi rabim o yechidim, those who are appointed over the community for the benefits of the community or individuals of the community, harehem kidayonim, they are like judges. But again, the Trumas Hadeshen is not talking about Shochad. He's saying asurim lahoshiv b'neim misha posel adun mishum rishas. If there's someone who is guilty of crimes that make him into a Rasha, and he would therefore be disqualified as a judge, he's disqualified as a Mamuna Lasok B'Tzorche Rav Mayechid. And the post can want to say that this Trumas Hadeshen is equating the status of a Mivchar B'Tzivu, or someone who's appointed by the community, to that of a Dayan. And just like he has to be a Tzaddik and not a Rasha, otherwise he's Pasul Ladun, so too he has to avoid taking any shochad.
So we're cooked.
Say it again.
We're totally cooked. I mean, this is something that's every day. You bring donuts to the nurses. Every single part of society is showing favor. You know, showing something to somebody. Not necessarily with regards to judgment, but with regards to getting people to do something.
Well, let me try to. You're asking an excellent question about the donuts to the nurses. I didn't get a chance to read through. He has pages here from a book, an anthology of essays called Tchumin. I myself, yours truly, wrote twice for that journal. And he has here something from a very outstanding writer and author by the name of Shlomo Ishan, and I think he addresses your question. So that's going to be your homework on page 13. But I just wanted to give you, two, you know, knee-jerk responses to your question. Number one, there's a difference between the private sector and the public sector. When I speak about Nivchar Letzibur or Mimuna Lasso Pitzarche Atzibur, I don't think I'm referring to nurses. What do I mean? The nurse has to do the best job she possibly could. And sometimes she needs a little extra motivation. Her mitzvah is the mitzvah of Ushmartem Esnafshel Seichem, of Hatzolos Nefashos, of V'ahavta L'reach Kamocha, and so forth and so on. If it takes a little extra push, I think that's fine. Up until a certain point, which I'll explain in a minute. What he's talking about here in the Trumas Hadeshen and after him in the Pilpula Charifta, he's talking about, again, I wish you guys could help me with the English translation, because I'm so long out of America. Pekidim, I don't know. What do you call the bureaucrats, you know, who are behind every governmental office? What do you call those people?
The clerks, you're talking about?
Clerks, okay. We'll call them clerks. You know, the clerks have to make decisions which are to the benefit of one person and to the detriment of another. Let's say, for example, you know, there are two neighbors, and the decision has to be made whether one neighbor could expand and the other neighbor says, no, it's going to cause this, it's going to cause that. And these are decisions that are made not in a courtroom, but they're made by clerks and bureaucrats and other people who are hopefully intelligent. I hope they're intelligent, and they've been put into positions of power over the community by the powers to be, the authorities and the memshalah of the government. A nurse, on the other hand, is more in the private sector of giving the best care that she can. Now, here's, Joe, where I would ask you the following question. The nurse is on duty at night, and there are two patients on the ward that both need tending to. Is Shochad okay over here? And I'm inclined to think, just Levi Omerly, that would be a real problem. You know, Reuven has money to pay. Shimon doesn't have that big bucks for Shochad. And in this case, the nurse, you know, she's about to give a shot of morphine, you know, to a patient. and the question is which patient is going to be tended to first, that's a serious issue. On the other hand, in general, if it's not a question of health, but let's say you're in the private sector, you can determine who, you know, you have a whole list of clients, and the question, you know, you might say first come, first serve. You know, Reuven came before Shimon, he made his appointment. But maybe in that case, if again, even so, it might be to the detriment of one of the two clients. I don't know. What would be in the case where I'm working for myself and I'm being paid by my clients and I want to give preferential treatment to one client over the other because he pays me more money? Is that prohibited? Because that's also to the detriment of the other client, perhaps. I know, what would you say about that?
We're trying to find it. You know what I'm saying? I mean, if you look at it on the surface, it looks like it's all bad, mostly. You know, we're trying to dig underneath to try to see how we can justify our lives, I think, no?
Again, you know, as I say, in this area, like all of Bein Adam L'Chaver, there's always the Ikar Adin, and then there's the Lefnim Meshuras Adin.
Would you say like this, Rob? Would you say like this? In the public sector, the person's really not working for himself. He's working for the government. He's getting his salary or whatever it is at any point. Right. I don't know if this is better or worse.
No, I think you're right that if he's working for the public sector, then he's working for the entire public. If he's working for the entire public, for Reuven, Shimon, and Levi, and every member of the community, he has no right to accept bribes in order to decide in favor of one to the detriment of the other. Once again, I would still insist that if he puts more of an effort or attention to one without being detrimental to the other, I don't see that as a problem. Now, in the private sector, you know, everything is fair in the private sector. You know, I don't have any commitment to any particular client. If one client is willing to pay me more than another, so be it.
I like him better, even if I just like him better. I can do whatever I want with my own.
But I'm just wondering if can I call up a client and say, well, you have an appointment for Sunday, and I'm going to have to push you off to Monday because after I already made the appointment, because my schedule for Sunday is just overcrowded, and the reason I'm doing that is because Plony Almoni is offering me a better price. I'm not going to tell him to this guy, you know.
But I didn't have to take you in the first place.
But maybe once I made an appointment for Sunday, I have to make sure that I'm free on Sunday. Now, if something comes up beyond my control, nicha, you know, I got called out for a funeral, I can't be there on Sunday. But if, on the other hand, somebody pays me off and bribes me because his case was set for Monday, but he wants to be judged on Sunday,
right?
I don't know. Not sure. Anyway,
I gotta go to work.
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead. Please go. Everybody should have a great day.
Nobody left.
I just want to mention that the case we touched on before about the synagogue vote for a Rav, to hire a Rav, and it turns out there was Shochad here in the decision of the vote. Chassam Sofer had this case, and he was Mevatel Lebechira Shel Rav. He absolutely canceled and negated the decision because it was clear that the outcome and then the vote was influenced by Shochad. And if there are witnesses that the Rav himself got involved in collecting the Shochad, it wasn't just in paying the Shochad, I should say, it wasn't just his relative, then the Chassam Sofer paskins that such a person is completely disqualified from playing the role as a Rav. Very interesting that on Purim we have Mishloach Manos, whether Mishloach Manos itself would undermine and disqualify a Dayan to Paskin on behalf of that person who sent the Mishloach Manos. So do we have a right to say that's not Shochad? It's given not the Torah, you know, judge me in this way, but rather Mitzvahs Mishloach Manos. That's a Mitzvah on Purim. And again, it might touch on the question whether he sent him Mishloach Manos year in and year out, or Dafka that year. And there's a tshuva also from the Madonna Yontif with regard to what we call the Shochad Me'uchar, which we mentioned before, but B'minei Rav, in selection of a rabbi, HaRav Istayea B'yedid Ni'uri Mekabolas Misras Rabbanus. These two were close friends from childhood, and one of them was already sitting on the Misrad of, you know, in the office of the Rabbanut. He was able to influence the Rabbanut to accept and appoint a certain friend of his as the Rav. And not only that, the Rav himself, after he was appointed by the Rabbanut, sent a major gift to his buddy, to his friend, for all the work he did on his behalf. And this is the tshuva in the Madani Yontif as to whether or not this is a legal procedure according to halacha. Now, one of the questions that we raised here today was with regard to a non-Jewish shofet, and the Rambam paskens that with regard to Bnei Noach, they have to appoint dayanim and shoftim. That's one of the seven mitzvahs. We call plachu plach lodu v'sheish mitzvahs elu lahazir sa'am. And the Rambam says, "V'nei zen ischay v'kol bal ishchem hariga sharei ishchem gozal v'hem rov yodu v'lo donuhu." So the sheet of the Rambam is that the reason why the Bnei Shechem were killed out by Shimon and Levi is because they were in fact chayov, because they violated dinim. And the Ramban disagrees with the Rambam in Parshas Vayishlach, and he says, "Hadinim shenitztavu aleim Bnei Noach enam lahoshiv dayor v'chol plach plach bilvad, aval tziva osam b'dine." Gneva ve'ono v'oshek v'schar sochir, which means that basically, according to the Ramban, all the laws of halacha in all of Bein Adam L'Chaveiro, in all the manifestations which appear in the Jewish halacha, are automatically included in the non-Jewish halacha under the mitzvah of dinim. And that means gnevo no oshek schar socher dini shomrim ovos nezikin chovil b'chavero din malvav alovem ekachu memkar, all of these ke'inyan ha-dinim shenitztavu Yisrael. So there's a mirror image here between the dinim of Yisrael and the dinim of Ben Noach. And therefore he says, Im gana vi oshak or anasupita bito shachavero hidlikidisho chavavots kiyotzi bazen is nera galeim, that's all under dinim mechal mitzvah zoshi yeshiva dayon mechal ir vi ir ki Yisrael vim lo asukain enom nerogim. In other words, according to the Ramban, included in dinim of Ben Noach are all the lavim and all the yisurim that apply ben om lechavero in klal Yisrael. And amongst that would be Hita Dino Nerak. If he, the non-Jewish judge, finds favoritism, violating, if you will, justice, he will be put to death for that, because that is considered stealing. And Lokach Shochad Nerak, if he accepts Shochad, that's also a capital crime on the part of the non-Jewish judge. And once again, we're not allowed to be machshil, a non-Jew, in his seven mitzvahs, and therefore we're not allowed to give shochad to a non-Jewish judge. Now, that's all based on the Ramban. If you go like the Rambam seems to assume that the mitzvah of seven, the one of seven, is lahoshiv dayanim, but the Rambam doesn't say anything about b'chol ir v'ir, nor does the Rambam go through this long enumerated list of what's included here, but he does say that Gneva is one of the seven, and therefore Dayanim, who failed to judge the Ganov, or the Gazlan to be more precise, are also to be put to death. And that's what motivated Shimon and Levi. That was the heter for them to kill them out. The Rambam does not go as far as the Ramban to say that included on the mitzvahs B'nei Noach and dinim specifically is all this long list enumerated here by the Ramban, so that shochad might not be a capital crime according to the Ramban. I don't know. You might say that since there's something called gzela, maybe, but again, that's a far stretch to say that the judge is a gazlan. I don't know. I wouldn't say that offhand. But all this comes under what we call mishpat. Our discussion today was to the effect that there are two dimensions to shochad. One is losata mishpat, which is a logical, rational law, so that we guarantee justice and fairness. The other was a special isa that would apply as a chok, with the metaphysics of the Chazadish that we spoke about, and that would enjoin the judge from accepting an equal shochad from both Stadim Ladun Din Emes. Would that apply to a non-Jewish judge who accepts gifts from both sides? That's already Gzeiras HaKosav. I'm not sure if even the Ramban would include that under Dinim. Now, what if the Jew feels that the guy has a natural inclination towards the, let's say, the Christian who is his litigant? Can the Jew make a calculation and say, in order to, shall we say, neutralize the situation, equalize the situation, they'll give a shochad to the non-Jewish judge? This became an entire issue in the poskim, which would require another hour of shiur. And is it permissible to give a non-Jewish judge shochad when the other side is already given the shochad? Let's say I know that my, you know, the who's suing me in court has already given a shochad to the dayan. Am I allowed to give the shochad to the dayan in that case to equalize the dayan's ability without favoritism? And once again, this might come under that koch atuma, that gzeiras hakosav, that chok, which only applies to a Jewish judge and not to a non-Jewish judge. And then finally, would you be allowed to give a gift to a non-Jewish judge on the condition or for the purpose of ladun din emes? And we had a long discussion about that earlier, which again is prohibited in the case of Israel. Maybe it would be permitted in the case of a non-Jewish judge. So again, amongst the discussions that we had today in the Shia, we have the question of a judge who accepts bribes from both Stadim. We had the question of, is there an Isur even on the person who gives the gift to the bribe to the judge? It seems like the judge is enjoined from receiving the gift. Perhaps the giver, in this case, one of the litigants, the plaintiff or the defendant, is giving it and violating the Isur of Lifnei Iver, insofar as the judge is enjoined from taking and receiving that bribe. We spoke about the main question about whether Mamunim al-Atsiva, the Pekidim, the Ovdei Mimshelo, whether they are also included, like Dayonim, in the Isur Shochad, even if, again, a person is giving this Pekid a gift in order to protect his own rightful, justified interests and his rights. We spoke about accepting a gift and then afterwards the judgment. We spoke about a post-dated gift, meaning after the decision was already handed down, can you give the gift to the judge as a shochad me'uchar? We spoke about shochad dvarim, you know, giving him a warm hello, a compliment, etc., with that warmth is me'ikar adin prohibited, as the Rambam says it, or it's only, as Tosis would have it, it's a chumra lifnimishus adin for the judge to disqualify himself. And we raised the issue, which is a gigantic machlokas, as to returning the shochad. Is that an obligation incumbent upon the judge, conditional on the fact that the toveh who gave him the gift and the bribe has to is demanding it in return? We spoke about sending Mishloach Monos to the Dayan on Purim. We raised the question of whether there's an Issur Shochad for women. We spoke about the court case of the Chassam Sofer I'm sorry, not the court case, but the decision to hire a rabbi in the case of Chassam Sofer. And we spoke a little bit about non-Jewish judges. We raised the question of of cutbacks in the case of a physician who, sends his patients to Dr. X, the certain surgeon, whether he's allowed to get a little bit of a percentage, a cutback, or he sends a prescription to a particular pharmacist and he expects that the pharmacist will give him a gift. All these come under the Issur Shochet. So we can summarize our discussion today by saying that although Shochet seems to have a very limited application, but it doesn't. It really applies in many, many different situations that are very common in our life. Even in a very, contemporary world of bureaucracy, clerks, and workers who are paid in order to collect taxes or grant rights and permits, all this comes under the contemporary application of the Issur Shochet. Okay, we'll stop here.